In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temples. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Fantastic, isn't it? Fantastic meaning extraordinary, astonishing, remarkable. What we are reading here is the formative moment in the life of someone who history and tradition knows as the prophet Isaiah, a hugely formative figure in both Judaism and Christianity, whose writing and the writings of others who would continue in his name would be formative to Jesus. Recall that it was the scroll of Isaiah that Jesus unfurled and read from the synagogue after his Lenten pilgrimage. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." This, Jesus says, this is why I am here. Good news to the poor. Freedom for the oppressed, a clear vision for all. This is why I am here. This is my mission. It's all right here in the scroll of Isaiah. And so if we want to understand Jesus, we need to understand Isaiah. The Isaiah in the first 39 chapters of the book attributed to him was a spokesperson for the king of Judea. His role gave him privileged access to power. He could see the decision-making process unfold. He was a witness to the impacts of good decisions and bad decisions. But not unlike a modern public relations consultant, his job was to shape the narrative to ensure the king always looked good, regardless of circumstance. This was a time of political unrest in the region. The Assyrian Empire had conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and overrun most of the southern kingdom of Judea. There was an impending doom in Jerusalem that the city would be next. And alongside this political crisis were overlapping social crises, poverty and inequality and oppression and the abuse of power by some to the detriment of the whole. The wealthy were buying up all the homes and property, forcing the poor into expensive and demoralizing tenancy. Religious observances had become mechanical obligation or exhibitionist piety rather than authentic devotion to the Creator God. From this place beside the king, Isaiah had a courtside seat to the big issues of his day. And it was from this place of worldly power, the king's court, that he was summoned to the heavenly court, the throne of God, the seat of divine power. And it was fantastic. With smoke and fire and six-winged angels and pillar-shaking cacophony calling out, "Holy, holy, holy," recorded in Latin as Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus. But perhaps the Hebrew would be more appropriate. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai, Tzevaot. The whole world is full of his glory. And upon seeing the glory of the Lord in the fantastic scene before him, something shifts inside Isaiah. Something breaks. "Woe is me," he cries out. "I am lost. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah is presented with what true power looks like. In this moment, he is confronted with himself, and he does not like what he sees. He is confronted with his complicity in the overlapping crises of his day and just how lost he and the people have become, how far they have wandered from the holy relationship continually offered by God. And there in the middle of this fantastic scene, Isaiah is given a choice. The prophets are always given a choice. Continue to be the mouthpiece to the powers of the world, or become a prophet of God and God's mission of justice and compassion. Be part of the problem or part of the solution. Whom shall I send? God wonders aloud. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? This is the formative moment in the life of Isaiah. It was the moment of crisis where he realized just how lost he was, how lost everyone was. And the only way out of this lostness was mission. He was answering God's call to mission. Here am I. His voice cries out above the cacophony, send me. In this formative moment, it became clear to Isaiah, this is why I am here. I work from home some days. I don't have an office there. I mostly just work at our dining room table, which is about 20 feet away from where our two boys are doing their virtual school. And so I've had a courtside seat to how frustrating that has been for them and their teachers these past months, spending all day looking at little squares on little screens, missing their friends, missing out on relationships and experiences, getting frustrated by the technology. This past week, my oldest son, Isaiah, yes, named after the prophet, Isaiah was very upset because an assignment on woodland creatures he had worked hard on and submitted to Google Classroom didn't save properly, and he lost all of his work. I could hear him in the next room crying to his teacher, "It's lost. I don't know what happened. It's just lost. It's lost." It is striking to me how often we use the words lost and lost to describe this time of COVID. We've lost friends and relatives to sickness and death. We've lost income. We've lost a sense of comfort amongst others. We've lost our ability to move freely and to gather communally. Many of us have experienced loss in our mental or physical or spiritual health. We've lost so much. And likewise, I would argue the pandemic has revealed just how lost we have become as a people, how the most vulnerable and most marginalized have had to carry the heaviest loads, with the lowest paid being forced to take on the highest risk. Tents in our parks reveal the failure of decades of public policy prioritizing developers' profits over the public good. Nooses in construction zones and hateful comments on social media reveal an undercurrent of racism that flows through North American society. Fake news and conspiracy theories reveal a distrust for science and education and public institutions and anything that prioritizes reason over reactionary emotion. Vaccine queue jumpers reveal a culture of hyper-individualism that makes no room and takes no concern for anyone else. In many real ways, COVID has revealed just how lost we are, how far we have wandered from the holy relationship continually offered by God. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? In studying the call story of Isaiah, the formative moment in his life, we see that one cannot encounter God, one cannot have any kind of real relationship with the holy and not be changed, not experience some kind of transformation, some kind of experience of our own lostness and an awareness of our own participation in that which causes pain. And as we saw with Isaiah, this change, this transformation almost always leads to service, to mission, to work and witness, to love all that God loves. This was true for Isaiah. And I say this again, if we want to understand Jesus, we must understand Isaiah. For when Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Very truly I tell you, no one has seen the kingdom of God without being born from above," he is talking about transformation, a spiritual transformation that leads to service. He is not saying that the material is unimportant. He is saying that our spiritual birth is as important as our physical birth. this spiritual birth can happen in a fantastic thunderclap moment, as with Isaiah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Or more commonly, it can be a thousand little moments, little experiences of the holy, little revelations, little decisions that over the course of our lives lead to big changes. If you want to know God, Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must understand that God's glory isn't up there away from us, but rather fills the whole earth and is intimately and actively calling and sending us into service of mission in the world. Past, present, and future, this is a prophetic message, especially in days dominated by individualism, isolation, loneliness, and lostness. On this Trinity Sunday, when we consider the mysterious relationship at the heart of all things, we also affirm that this holy relationship extends to us and through us to the world around us. The holy relationship from person to person, culture to culture, species to species. To be in relationship means setting down of self and understanding our responsibilities to the other. When our relationships are healthy, we are healthy. When our relationships are lost, we are lost. Whom shall I send? God calls out. Who will go for us? I've been thinking a lot about what the future of the church will look like post-pandemic. What will be lost? What will be found? For those without a spiritual community, the dominant perception of organized religion is of a mechanical obligation to a particular order of things, a set of doctrines, a moral code, a polity and practice based on a particular tradition. But as the theologian Diana Butler Bass points out, that's actually not what religion is supposed to be about. The word religion comes from the Latin religare, which means to bind or reconnect. As she puts it, religare is about mending what has been broken, recovering what has been mislaid, and reconnecting that which is frayed. Mending, recovering, reconnecting. These are action words. These are mission words. And so perhaps, as we can now hopefully see the end of the pandemic on the horizon, this too can be a moment of transformation where religion is less about obligation and more about mission. Where when God calls out, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Recognizing the responsibility that comes with being in holy relationship, we can say, here we are. Send us. And what could that look like? What could be a mission for a people of God, this people of God, in the coming months? What could be that holy trinity of values that guides and shapes us? What comes next are not my words. You see, I have had a courtside seat to how this community has navigated the pandemic, how we have lost some things and found other things. And this is what I have heard from you. I have heard that we need hope. We need hope, and we want to be a place where hope is found. Hope found in our relationship with the holy, the feeling of being part of something greater than ourselves despite difference or even distance. Hope found in beauty and truth and decency and goodness, and the lifting up of voices not often heard. Hope found in the rhythms of creation, birth and growth and death, and the deep knowledge that our spiritual rebirth is always possible. Hope found in the understanding that even in the times of overlapping crises, God is with us. God's abiding love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Whom shall I send into a mission of hope? And next to hope is healing. We need healing, and we want to be a place where healing is found. these past 14 months have left their mark. We are all wounded in some way, physically, mentally, spiritually. We may not be able to prevent hardships from happening, but when they do, we can be a people where healing is found in music, in worship, in the arts, in providing of basic needs to those without, in phone calls, in Zoom calls, and any time we encounter each other with open hearts, with healing at our core, we can be, as Isaiah writes, like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Whom shall I send into a mission of healing? Hope, healing, and finally, deep connection. We've been isolated for so long. We need connection, and we want to be a place where deep connections are found. Connection to community, to tradition, to the land, to our food, to a transcendent vision of what could be. Connection and engagement with the big issues we face, like homelessness and reconciliation and climate change. Connection to the mysterious relationship at the heart of all things. And connection with the responsibilities that relationship requires. Connection to the mission God calls out to us. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? A people with a mission for hope, healing, and deep connection. Doesn't that sound fantastic? Perhaps this is why we are here. Here we are. Send us. May it be so.